You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Reloading for 2012.
The next step.
It's the start of the next round.
In 2012.
Be back next year, I'm sure.
2012.
What happens next?
This year, we'll be talking, obviously, a lot about politics in America right now, dominated by discussions about the election of our next president. But also, they seem to be dominated by a feeling of anger or frustration. Anger about the financial collapse and who's to blame. High unemployment. Anger over the income gap. Illegal immigration. And there's another frustration underlying many of these issues, and that's the fear of change. Because America is changing. Make no mistake. In 12 states, the white population among young kids already makes them the minority, and seven more states will probably flip during the next decade. It's part of our Flash Forward series, this discussion we're having. We're taking a look at the shifting demographics in the United States, how the African American and Latino vote will change everything in this country, including the determination of our next president. Joining us now, Dr. Victoria DeFrancesco Soto, a fellow at the Center for Politics and Governance at the University of Texas at Austin and Director of Communications for Latino Decisions, which actually takes a look at Latinos and their influence on politics, right?
Correct.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the intersection between minorities, specifically African-Americans and Latinos, and politics. Historically, have these minorities always had sort of a swing in many elections?
What we've seen is since 2000, the Latino population really boom. And more interestingly, we're seeing it grow in places we didn't expect it. We're seeing growth of the Latino population in the South, in the Midwest. And these are places where the Latino vote is starting to grow and to matter. And, you know, aside from that, we're seeing the black population staying level. So while we're talking about the minority vote, we're actually talking about Latinos when we're talking about the growth of the minority vote. White population is going down, black population is staying constant, and the Latino population is what really is booming.
All right. Well, I mean, the statistics tell us very clearly where the country is going in terms of demographics. I mean, we're told that by 2050, so-called minorities will be the majority in the United States. And in fact, right now, non-whites, especially Hispanics, account for the overwhelming majority of population growth in the United States. That's all. I mean, that all means, of course, that the face of the United States is changing. But what exactly does that mean? I mean, these are not populations that vote as a block, right?
Correct. So the impact of the Latino electorate itself isn't being felt across the board. The growth of the Latino electorate is being felt in the older communities. So, for example, Florida, California, Texas, Nevada, places where Latinos have been for a while and have been able to mature as an electorate. In the newer destinations, they're still not having an impact. But what I am going to ask the listeners to look out for is in about three or four election cycles to keep their eye on North Carolina, Arkansas, Tennessee, because the children of many of the new Latino immigrants who for the most part, cannot vote because of their legal status. Their children are born here, and their children are citizens, and they will be voting in, you know, 15 years.
But can we predict? We're speaking with Dr. Victoria DeFrancesco Soto. She's at the University of Texas, Austin, and is also with Latino Decisions. Can we predict how they will vote? I mean, as I said, they don't often vote as a huge monolithic block, but in what way do they influence elections when they get out to the polls?
Well, you know, let's separate Latinos out by groups. Latinos is a very large catch-all phrase. Latinos encompass Mexican-Americans, Cuban-Americans, Puerto Ricans, Dominicans. So it's a big catch-all phrase. We can generalize within that. We know that Cubans tend to vote Republican, Mexican-Americans, and Puerto Ricans tend to vote Democrat. So we can make that generalization. However, we do know in the past Latinos have crossed party lines. For example, with George W. Bush, he was able to attract a large Mexican-American crossover vote. However, and this is a big however, because of the recent anti-immigrant tone of the Republican Party, I don't think that, at least in this election, you never know what can happen in the following ones, but in this election, you're going to get a lot of non-Cuban Republican support. In other words, the Latinos who are largely Democratic or Democratic-leaning are going to stay there.
Well, how does this end up affecting people's, I guess, their mood or their attitude towards their power in the populace? I mean, we know there's a lot of disenchantment with the government right now. But as some of the so-called minority votes start to become majority, start to gain more power, does that give them a different sense of their relationship with the government?
You know, what we see is that as I'm speaking here about Latinos, as they assimilate into the United States. So you come here, maybe your mother or your father was an immigrant, but you start to assimilate. The more you learn the language, the more you are educated in the school system here, you gain a knowledge and assimilation into the American political system. And by default, also, you start to lay roots here. You have kids that go to public schools here in the U.S. You're paying taxes. So with time, we're seeing these Latino immigrants who many times would have thought that this is just transitory, that I'm going to work here for a couple years and then go back to Mexico or go back, to South America. But with the time that they spend here, they start to invest more in the political system.
Well, let's tell me what states where we might see a real influence of the Latino vote or the African-American vote in this presidential election that's coming.
The swing states that we talk about generally, they also apply to at least Latinos by and large. So, for example, Nevada is one we really need to keep an eye on. New Mexico, Colorado, Florida, which is a quintessential swing state. And, you know, even in talking about, say, Ohio and Pennsylvania, Latinos are, say, 3-4% of the electorate, but in a squeaker, that makes the difference. With the African-American vote, we tend to see the African-American vote concentrated mainly in the South. But there, because the South is not a swing region, we're not going to see the impact of that vote at the national level. We'll see it more at the local level. With the black vote, we also see it in some Midwestern states. So, say, for example, Indiana, Ohio, and it's going to matter definitely in the Midwest area.
What about these states that we see where we really see the population, the demographics changing, and that could mean a real change in politics, like in Arizona or in Texas?
Arizona and Texas are both so red that at the national level in the presidential election, Latinos or a solid Latino Democratic bloc would not make a difference. Again, they can make a big difference at state and local level, but at the national, at least for now, in 2012, they will not make a difference.
All right. Well, we are talking about the changing demographics in the United States with Dr. Victoria De Francesco Soto. So, doctor, at this point, when do you, they're saying 2050 is when the United States will flip? Do you buy that year?
Yeah, well, here they're talking about aggregate numbers and looking
right
at the United States as a whole. There are different levels of change all across the region, so we're seeing very rapid change in the South. So it's going to happen a lot quicker in the South, especially because there already is a sizable African-American population. So the South will become majority-minority much sooner than, say, Idaho or Iowa. But
It will eventually reach Montana, right?
Exactly, but they are changing too. You know, in Iowa, we've all had our eye on Iowa for the past couple of weeks. The Latino population changed there drastically. It's only 5% of the population, but when you go from about 0% to 5%, that's a big deal.
That's a big jump. Dr. Victoria De Francesco Soto, fellow at the Center for Politics and Governance at the University of Texas, Austin, and Director of Communications for Latino Decisions. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Celeste.
So demographics have no particular sort of granularity regarding the economy. Everyone has their own economic issue. And we asked all of you out there, what's your economic vision of the 2012 presidential candidates, and what do you need them to do to help your financial situation? We'll run down a few of the responses. Kimberly wrote on our Facebook page, I want access to working capital for small businesses. A listener from New York texted, the next president needs to get subsidies for transit on par with or greater than our subsidies for driving. Brooklyn has a different plan, reinstate the gold standard to prevent inflation. From Detroit, put up tariffs so that we start making our own clothing and cheap plastic stuff in the U.S. Nicole wrote in to second that plan, bring manufacturing back into the U.S. We cannot remain a global leader or have quality lives as a service industry nation. And what does Kevin say on the Facebook page? I'd like for the next president to make the FBI, SEC, and IRS spend some quality time investigating the mortgage debacle. A few indictments, arrests, and trials would perhaps convince the others to behave. And here's another opinion.
This is Saul from Westport. The question should be why we aren't better off and who's responsible for our downturn in our prospects. That should be the question.
What's the next president's agenda on the economy from your point of view? Talk to us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.